Our gospel lesson this morning is the story of the Transfiguration as it comes to us from Luke's account. So it'll be Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 43. And out of reverence for God's holy word, would you please stand for the reading? Hear now the word of the Lord. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James, and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which was about to be accomplished at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met them. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It throws him into convulsions until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions, but Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
It is my usual custom to leave here on Thursday night after whatever meeting I have and drive to Covington. My house is there. My home is there, not my parsonage, not your parsonage, but my home is there. And so I go into that house and wake up in it on Friday morning, work on sermons and Bible studies, sometimes go to lunch with Josh. Then on Saturday morning, I drive back to Shamley to be ready. I see the grandchildren occasionally, and then off to Shamley to be here on Sunday morning. Since basketball has been working and the gym is open every Saturday, I usually go Wednesday night after supper and wake up there Thursday morning, work on sermons and Bible studies. I miss seeing the grandchildren because they're in school on Friday. And then on Friday, I scoot back to Shamley to be here for basketball. This Wednesday night, that's exactly what happened. I had supper with you. I went by and picked up Doogie, got a few things that I wanted out of the refrigerator, and off I went to Covington. When I got to Covington and unloaded that stuff, got it back into refrigeration, I sat down and turned on the news. By now, it's 11 o'clock. So the 11 o'clock news came on, and you've heard the news. There's a little girl in kindergarten down there that fell off the monkey bars, hit her throat just right there, and ruptured her trachea. They didn't know that was her trachea was ruptured at the time, and of course teachers were all around and students were all around. This is what the news said.
Teachers found her unconscious on the monkey bars. Tonight a community prayed together and remembered Tyra DeBrawl. An autopsy performed today showed the girl died from asphyxia while playing at school. Channel 2's Ricky Klaus is live in Covington tonight, and it has been an emotional evening. Ricky?
Jovita, yes, it has. The vigil took place here on Conyers Street behind me at the First United Methodist Church. It was emotional for some and healing for others. This is Tyra DeBruhl. She was only 5 when she died, but community members tell me
she leave a rich legacy behind, a legacy of love, a legacy that the community came together on her behalf.
Wednesday night, more than 100 people, some who knew her, some who didn't, joined in song and prayer on DeBruhl's behalf. An autopsy showed the kindergartner died of asphyxia while playing on the monkey bars Monday at Newton County Theme School in Covington. Police say teachers found DeBruhl hanging on the bars unconscious. The school district says 10 teachers and paraprofessionals were on the playground supervising when this happened.
I am so full at this very moment. My heart goes out to the family.
They need prayer. They need love. They need friendship. And it's just constant God's love is what they need. I can only imagine in a time of loss like this. It just breaks my heart.
The school district says counselors are in place to provide support as long as it's needed.
Did you know her?
No, but I think she rides my bus.
A number of children attended the vigil at First United Methodist Church.
The children must know that life must go on. God is a wonderful God. He makes no mistakes.
And again, those counselors are necessary because a number of kids on the playground witnessed her death. The Newton County coroner says his office is trying to figure out the position DeBruhl was in when she stopped breathing. The school district said 10 teachers and paraprofessionals were at the playground supervising when this tragic incident happened. Police say they do not expect any charges of negligence, but that's up to the DA to decide. Reporting live in Covington, Ricky Klaus, Channel 2 Action News, Night Beat.
Now, what you don't know is that one of the high school students from Alcovy High School, very popular young man, very handsome, went home that same day and took his own life. And that night, there were two men in the Gum Creek area of Newton County who got into a shootout. They both died. And you hear about that a lot on the 6 o'clock news, but not in Covington, Georgia. And the first of the week, a young man was on his way to school, and a logging truck ran a stop sign, and he is now a patient at Atlanta Medical. That's a lot for a small community to go through. Their normal is absolutely shattered. Covington First, I was so proud of the preacher there, Doug Gilreath, and also of the church itself. It's Mark Rainey's home church, Bill's home church. It's where I cut my teeth. They opened their doors immediately and put together a service and drew the entire community in. They were a light in a dark place at a dark time. As I walked Doogie from my house up to the square and around the square on Thursday morning, I walked on down to Covington First to pray with Doug and let him know that I was thinking of him and all the things he had to do. Told him how proud I was of him and Covington. And he said, doesn't matter what we do, you can't fix a hurt like this. And I agree, and said to him, what we all need now is Jesus and plenty of him. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, and some of us know what that is and some of us don't, and the ones of us who do know what that is don't know if we truly understand what that is. And so I've gone to the screen in order to save some time with a guy named Chuck, and Chuck knows church.
The transfiguration of Jesus is described in all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Many consider it one of the miracles of Jesus, but different from the others, because it's not performed by Jesus, but it happens to him. Now, all three gospel accounts tell us that Jesus and three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, go up on a mountain where the transfiguration occurs. Jesus shines with bright rays of light, or as Matthew chapter 17, verse 2 describes it, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white, a phrase laundry detergent companies would later borrow. Now, it is this transfiguration, this miracle, that we remember on Transfiguration Sunday. So, when is Transfiguration Sunday, and why do we recognize this event in particular in the life of our church? Now,
I'm going to tell you the rest of that. We recognize this particular Sunday because it is the Sunday before Ash Wednesday. And Ash Wednesday is the beginning of Lent. First is Fat Tuesday. We'll eat pancakes and have a great time, and then we'll prepare ourselves for the sacrificial season of Lent. We'll begin to turn inward and look at ourselves and admit our shortcomings and know that we have limitations and know that we are pretty selfish in all that we do and know that our weakness is that we want everything the way we want everything. Moses was a link with the past on that transfiguration day, and Elijah was the prophet that called the people to return to their covenant with God. And that's sort of what Lent is for us today. We're coming home. The scripture says God spoke and said, "This is my son. Listen to him. Listen to him." And Peter just wanted to stay up on the mountain like many of us do. He likes the status quo. He really didn't hear, or if he did, he didn't understand, or if he did, he couldn't obey or wouldn't obey. He just wanted to stay up there and enjoy the view. But the best work is done at the foot of the mountain. The best work is done when it's a dark place and you can be, we can be witnesses, our church can be the light, the only light sometimes. You've risen to that occasion. I remember the time there was a drive-by shooting. Do you remember? Little boy was asleep in his bed. His name is Nick. And you flung the doors of this church open and called in all of his friends and classmates. You came to the rescue of his parents, and we worked for 3 or 4 days with punch and cookies and doors open and nighttime visitations, and finally we came to the funeral. You remember? You were a light in a dark place. And then there was the young man that everybody loved, great student on his way to Georgia Tech. Super athlete. And he jumped off the parking deck at Georgia Tech and took his own life. I remember standing at the side of that coffin looking in at that young man and saying, "It's got to stop. It's got to stop. The church has got to give these young people, these children, a sense of hope. They have to be able to give them something that lets them put one foot in front of the other when it seems like they can't." I'm proud of you. We did what we needed to do at a time that our hearts were broken too. And kudos to you. But you can't stay there. And that's what the transfiguration is. The transfiguration is seeing the glory of God, knowing that that's where our hope lies, recognizing the fact that we've been saved, we've been redeemed, we've been sought after, we've been sacrificed for, we've been loved, and then not basking in that, but walking down the mountain and going to work. Going to work. Rolling up sleeves and going to work. And you've done that too, and kudos to you. Right now, as we speak, we're getting ready to close one of the lanes out front to proceed with building that's going to secure a place for the young people that is safe and fun and will bring them here instead of someplace else. And if you can get 10 minutes out of 2 hours to talk to them about Jesus, you've done a good work. It may look like to you they're having fun when we're playing with cake outside and throwing it at each other or fighting with water guns or doing all those things, getting ready to go to Camp Glisten, going on retreats, having Super Bowl parties, but it brings them home. And it gives us an opportunity to introduce them to Jesus. And if they got questions, all the better. Because when they decide they're going to be in with Jesus, nobody, nowhere, no time can take that away from them. They got to climb their own mountain and see their own glory with Christ. Do you remember when that happened to you? Maybe at camp meeting. Maybe at Camp Glisten. Maybe when you were all alone in your room. I remember mountaintop experiences. I've had lots of them. But for me, there was not a time that I can tell you this was the day and this was the place and salvation came to me and praise be to Jesus. I can't do it. That's not the way Christ came to me. It was like putting a puzzle together. And I'd find a piece and maybe a year later I'd find another piece and maybe 2 weeks after that I'd find a piece. And I'm still finding pieces. But it was people like you who cooked a meal for the youth, who taught Vacation Bible School, who came time after time after time to pick me up and take me home that saved my life. Jesus saved my soul. And people like you saved my life. God spoke through all of that misunderstanding and transfiguration, whatever in the world that may have looked like, and said to Peter, James, and John, "This is my son. Listen to him. Listen to him." When we look at a child and say, "Savannah, listen to me," what that means, Marley, is obey me. Hear what I say. Do you understand? Do you remember what Jesus said to us? Feed the hungry, visit the jails, clean up the environment, teach the children, show the youth. Live your life so that the youth can see it in you. Win folks to Christ. Comfort the hurting. Build the church. Care for the sick. Give sacrificially. Now, you don't like that part. I didn't say it. Well, I guess I did say it. I was told to say it. Forgive those who have wronged you. You need to forgive those who have wronged you. It's not an option. It's a command. Love everybody, all God's children. Be a light. Be a beacon. Be a witness. Status quo doesn't cut it. You can never rest on your laurels. You don't get to retire from being a Christian. Roll up your shirt sleeves and turn your face toward God and come down off the mountain. And it's not going to be glory all the time. It is time to commence to do the work of the kingdom. Right now, this day, it is time to commence to do the work of the kingdom. Amen.